I want to read some scripture for you this morning found in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 20. Here in this particular passage of scripture, we have the appointment of the six cities of refuge. Several years ago, I was pastoring at Landmark, and Brother Jeff Brown helped me in a meeting there, and I recall him introducing me to the similarities of Jesus Christ being connected, or how that these six cities of refuge typify some aspects of Jesus Christ. I wish I would have taken notes on that particular occasion, but I remember being introduced to the parallel between the cities of refuge and Jesus Christ. On Wednesday nights, we went through the book of Hebrews. Of course, we've had, I don't think some of us realize what we have gone through together on Wednesday nights. You guys realize that we've almost completed the entire Bible together? There's a profound connection that develops when you sit down and you start at Genesis 1 and 1 and go all the way through the scriptures together as a group. There's a phenomenal connection. There's an experience there that's just, I have not done that with very many people in my life. Actually, I don't know that I've ever done that with a group of people in my life, with the exception of you people on Wednesday night. But when we were studying through the book of Hebrews, I didn't have enough time, or perhaps I didn't camp out long enough in the sixth chapter. There in verse 18, there's a reference to Jesus Christ being our refuge. Now, if you've been among us here at Victory for any length of time, you'll be able to associate conviction of sin and the seeking of salvation with running to the city of refuge. I can relate to what was happening or what happened to a person who had perhaps by accident slew someone. If somebody was accidentally killed by your hand, there would be avenger of blood sent after you. And these passages tell about how that God instituted six particular cities that a person could take asylum in or take refuge in if they had accidentally hurt someone. Now, of course, under the Jewish economy, if somebody was hurt or injured or killed by your hand, then you were accountable. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. For instance, if Brother Riddle, if I was out chopping wood and my with an axe, and the axe flew off the handle and hit Brother Riddle in the head and killed him, then his next of kin will become a person who was avenger of blood. Say Dean Harrison, for instance. Then he would be the avenger of blood, and he would be after me to take vengeance for the life that I have taken. But I could seek refuge. There were six cities that I could seek refuge in Israel. And I would seek refuge in one of those cities. Actually, there'd be a trial given to make sure that what had happened was true, that it was by accident, that I didn't mean to take Brother Riddle's life, that I didn't have any malice or anger toward him. And so these cities were established. I want us to notice, and I'm going to read these passages of Scripture, but I want us to notice the resemblance or the parallel between Jesus Christ and the six cities of refuge. And the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares or unwittingly may flee thither. They shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursueth after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into the hand because he smote his neighbor unwillingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Nephet, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Araba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assign Bezer in the wilderness unto the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth, in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourned among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unaware might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. I want to use a text, a passage of scripture taken from the book of John chapter 6 and verse 37. The statement of Jesus Christ. He made this statement: Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We have a wonderful place of refuge. Jesus Christ is our place of refuge. There in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it's obvious, every commentary will tell you that the Hebrew writer was having reference to the cities that were established under the administration of Joshua, those six cities of refuge. And he made reference to Jesus truly being a place of refuge. I want us to notice, first of all, the names of these cities. There's a resemblance between the cities and Jesus, and I think there's something that we can perhaps draw a parallel between the names and Jesus himself. The first city was called Kadesh. The word actually signifies holiness. Throughout the New Testament, I went down in one of the Sunday school classes this morning. They were studying the journeys of Paul. And at the beginning of many of the apostles and their preachings in the book of Acts, they alluded to and they would make reference to Jesus being the Holy One. You can read about that in Acts like 3 and 14, Acts 2 and 27. How that Jesus Christ is the Holy One. We do know that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she was found with child. She was a virgin. Amen? And the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and through the influence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Child Jesus was born. Jesus Christ is holy. He was holy, he is holy, and he will forever be the Holy One. He is absolutely holy. He is eternally holy. He lived a holy life. Of all the men that's ever lived on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ is the only one that lived a holy life. His life was holy that he might offer up a holy sacrifice on our behalf. Kadesh means holy. If you take refuge in holiness, you'll find true refuge. There's true safety in holiness. I mean, think about it. We are going to have to stand before a holy God. It's imperative for you to be in a holy Christ. Those of us that stand in Jesus will have the opportunity, the privilege to stand before God holy. God said in his holy word, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And the only way that any of us can be holy is for us to take refuge in Jesus. Amen? Don't tell me you're going to try to stand before God holy on your own merit, on your own works, on the things that you have done. You need the holiness that's in Jesus. So, Kadesh, a place of holiness. We too find refuge in the holiness of Jesus. Shechem was the second name for one of the cities. It means shoulder. The Bible teaches us in the book of Isaiah 9 and 6 that the government would be upon his shoulder. The Bible teaches us that he shouldered or bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Jesus Christ is the one who took our place. He is the one that bears us up and upholds us, not only by his life, but by his power. He shoulders our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. Amen? I'm thankful that there's been times in my life where I've had the privilege of running to Jesus for refuge, and he would hold me up, shoulder the weight. When I was young, we often would get stuck. I lived in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we would have what most southern people don't know exists. We would frequently have snow, large quantities of snow. Many times we would be deep in snow. And of course, we didn't shut down the city like you guys do down here in the South. You know, we pressed on. We would get stuck, and many times we would push one another out. I remember one occasion, and she was on her way to work. She got stuck in the driveway trying to go to work. And I went out there and pushed her and got her out of the ditch there in front of our house. I know what it means for somebody to come along and give us a shove, give us a push, to shoulder the burden, to give us a little extra strength and a little extra help. People, there's been many times in my life that I fled to Jesus for the help and the strength that I needed. Refuge to help us bear our burdens. Is Jesus a burden bearer? I mean, has he ever been there for you to help you bear your burdens, the weight, the troubles of life, the difficulties of life? Did you realize that whatever situation you're found in, whatever despair you're in, that you can go to Jesus and he can help you with it? Whether it's something physical or emotional or spiritual, I'm telling you, Jesus can help you. He can shoulder your burden and bear you up. Shechem. Well, another one of the city's names was Hebron. Hebron signified fellowship. It meant fellowship. See, it's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that's made us an outcast. It's sin that has alienated us from the God that designed us and the God that created us. It's sin that keeps us distant and out of fellowship with God. But praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, we can have restored fellowship through his death. Through Jesus Christ, we are restored into a relationship and a fellowship with God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Fellowship. We have fellowship. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. That we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. That we cry out to people. That we call upon people. We ask people to come to him and be reconciled. Be ye reconciled unto God is our message. It's our ministry. It's our gospel. We've been given a gospel of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The Bible says that in that passage that he was not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, how are we reconciled to God? I'll tell you how we're reconciled to God. Our sins, our sin debt, what keeps us separated from God is shifted to Jesus. Read on there in the book of Corinthians chapter 5 where he says that he became sin for us. who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You read that last verse, the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Fellowship. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have fellowship with God? I mean, I enjoy the fellowship that we have one with another. The Bible teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That through that forgiveness of sin, we have fellowship one with another. But we also have fellowship with a holy, divine, omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, all-powerful God. A genuine, true fellowship. Hebron signified fellowship. And by and through Jesus Christ, we have access to God. And we have fellowship with the Father. One of the other city's names on the other side of the Jordan. Here we read in this 20th chapter of Joshua, Bezer, which signified fortification. We sang this morning about Jesus being our fortification. Him being our refuge. Him being our hiding place. Listen, if you have not experienced that and you don't know that personally, you need to flee to Him for refuge. The Hebrew writer said in the sixth chapter, we have fled to Him for refuge. We've laid hold upon Him. We found genuine, true refuge. Jesus is our refuge from the troubles and tribulations of life. He is our refuge when it comes down to the end of life. Listen, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you have no true hiding place when it comes down to the judgment that each one of us will face. The Bible says that every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done to the body, both good and evil. The only thing that insulates us and secures us and makes us safe from judgment that we will one day face is that we have fled to Him for refuge. Fortification. He's our high tower. I mean, he is our fortress. I'm really disturbed that I see so many Christians today uninsulated. I mean, they're so affected by the world. They're stressed out. They're depressed. They're down in the dumps. I mean, they're in the dungeon of despair. Like Christian in his pursuit of the celestial city, they're found in the dungeon of despair. And I'll tell you, you need deliverance from that, because if you're not insulated from the problems of this life, the problems of life will pull you down. But I'm telling you that Jesus can fortify your life. He can fortify your marriage. He can fortify and protect your children and your home. You need Jesus as your fortress. At any moment, the arrows of the devil, the darts, the fiery darts of the devil could destroy you, the temptations and trials. We need Jesus to make us safe. We need Jesus to make us secure. Bezer, fortification, Jesus is our refuge. Well, the fifth name, the fifth city mentioned in this passage, Ramath. Ramath actually means elevation. Elevation. Jesus is the high and lofty one. He should receive the preeminence from our lives. When we go to church, we ought to go to church and hear about Jesus. I know a lot of people want to go to church and they want to hear about current events. They want to hear about democracy or whether you're Republican or Democrat. They want to hear something about politics, or they want to hear something about the latest technology, or they want to be informed about this and that. I tell you, when you go to church, you need to hear about Jesus. He needs to be lifted up. He said, if I I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. When Jesus Christ is lifted up, when we lift up his name, listen, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. The glorious, precious, redeeming, washing, cleansing, holy name of Jesus. People need to hear about Jesus. The word Jesus means saved. You can be saved. It's good news to hear about Jesus, because through Jesus you can be saved. Hi, Jesus. We need to lift him up. Amen. Oh, if we just lift up the name of Jesus in our singing, through our lives, in our good works, in our praise, in our prayers, we need to lift up Jesus. If your life is not lifting up Jesus, then your life is not the kind of life that will glorify God. Unless your life is lifting up Jesus in some way. How are you lifting up Jesus? How are you lifting up Jesus today? Some of you, you've been saved, but you're not in a position where your life lifts up Jesus. And you need to run to him as a refuge, because there's coming, I'm telling you something, listen to me. If you're saved, if you've been born again in the Spirit of God, and you're not serving the Lord, I mean, if you're really saved, you'll experience chastisement. If you're not familiar with that term, you're in a heap of trouble, my friend. You will experience trouble like none other. I mean, none other circumstance or situation. Listen, there's no greater misery than a child of God out of the will of God. Listen to me. No greater misery that a person can experience in life, in living, than to be a child of God out of the will of God. Run to him for refuge. Make him high and lift it up in your life. The final name is Golan. It can mean elevation, but it also are manifestation or exhortation. I like the term manifestation. We're going to use it in that respect just for a moment. Jesus is the revealer of the Father. He said, I came to reveal the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. Jesus Christ is the true manifestation of God, of deity, of the Creator God. He is the one that was incarnated. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There needs to be a revelation and a manifestation in your soul that Jesus is the Messiah. We need more than just head knowledge that he's the Savior. You need heart knowledge. One of the most disturbing things I heard this week during Vacation Bible School. We had a great time. Everybody did a great job. And there's one thing about Victory Church. We're bent on presenting the truth to people, whether young or old. We had a little boy that, or a young boy, I won't say he was little. We had a young boy that was attending this past week, and he made a comment at the beginning of the Vacation Bible School, said he was saved and baptized. Then toward the latter part of the week, he told his teacher this. He said, the other church that I went to, and went forward and was baptized in, he said, they only half saved me. And of course, the teacher told him, look, you're either really saved or you're not saved. You're either lost or saved. Nobody's half saved. You're either safe or you're in danger. I think what he was saying is that they told him they half saved him in that he had salvation in his head but didn't have salvation in your heart. You're not half saved, you're just completely lost if that's your situation. There's a lot of people missing heaven by 18 inches. They know about Jesus, they have a head knowledge of Jesus, but they've never had a revealed knowledge of Jesus in their heart. I contend that when you really flee to Christ for refuge, you'll know when you're inside the city. You'll know when you're safe. Amen. It'll be obvious to you. It'll be revealed to your spirit. It'll be revealed to your soul. I want to say this. One of the grand and most glorious things that happens to a person when they come to Jesus is that they pass from death unto life. They move from a state of darkness to a state of light. You can't have that spiritual experience without knowing about it. Salvation is a no-so salvation. Where you once were lost and now you found. You once were blind, but now you see. Listen, when you're born again to the Spirit of God, you'll know it. When the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst thou tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth? Jesus said in John 3:8 that every person really saved has a spiritual revealed knowledge of who he is. Amen. I believe that, don't you? People need to stop getting people half saved and get them really saved. And the only way you can really get saved is to be in Jesus. And when you're in Jesus, you'll have a revealed knowledge of Christ. All right, so we looked a little bit about the names of these cities and how that they resemble Jesus. The names themselves declare some attributes of Christ. Let's notice something else. Let's observe something. Notice that the first three cities, there in verse 7 of the 20th chapter of Joshua, that they're located in a high elevation. They were located on a mountain. They had high visibility. It's important for us that we make the truth available to all people. Jesus needs to be lifted up so that we can concur with what was said in Titus 2:11, that the grace that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. The commission that we were given. We started in Jerusalem, but we were to take this gospel to the whole world. Amen? To the uttermost part of the world. Jesus, what he did for us, him dying on the cross, we need to take it both near and far. It needs to be visible, noticeable to all people. Another thing about these cities that's not really mentioned in these particular passages, but in other passages, that they were to be kept, the roads to these cities were to be kept wide and in good repair. I read one place where that some of the roads were to be like 56 feet wide. The way was to be open and available. There was to be easy access to these cities. Now, I don't believe the way, the character of salvation is wide. The characteristics of salvation aren't necessarily wide. But that we, as God's people, need to remove every obstacle that gets in the way for a lost world. Jesus made it clear that the way, the broad way, leads to destruction. I'm not saying that salvation is a broad way. It's a narrow way. Amen? For you to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is very, it's a straight, it's a narrow way. Jesus taught that clearly. But each one of us that are saved and members of the Lord's church, we need to keep the debris out of the road that leads to the refuge that's found in Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? Well, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. The way we act as Christians influences a lost world on coming to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was a young boy, my cousins and I, we camped out in Franklin, Kentucky, and we had heard about some of the pranks that my grandfather had pulled upon people, and my uncle lived up the road. Well, we decided about 2 o'clock in the morning we'd go visit my uncle, take all of his stuff out of his shed and pile it up in front of his doors. And he had to call somebody to come and remove some of that debris so he could get out of his house to go to work that morning. He wasn't real happy with us. But we had a lot of fun doing it. The debris. You know, sometimes we pile up debris, stuff in the way, where it's difficult for people to get to the place of refuge, to get to Jesus Christ. Let's be very cautious and very careful as a church that we don't create obstacles that hinder lost souls where they can't come to Jesus. Does it happen in churches? Nitpicking, fighting, fussing? Is that a problem? Huh? Yeah. Tail bearing? If you guys have been coming on Wednesday night, you'll know what I've been saying about tail bearers. Stuff I've been saying has not been very nice. But I've been taking it right out of the Word of God. Rumors and things like that, will that hurt a church? It certainly will. Certainly will. It can become debris on the road to the city of refuge. They were required to keep that stuff cleared away. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 18, He said, when you've got something against a brother, you don't call somebody else on the phone and talk about it. But you go to that person, how? Do we know? Come on, I expect this church to know what Jesus said. How are we to go to that person? What's it say? Privately. Privately. You know, a lot of the stuff that happens in churches can be resolved if we would just do what Jesus taught us. Amen. But if you don't do it Jesus' way, you will create a big pile of stuff that will be an obstruction to somebody else. Jesus is the way. And we need to point people to Him as the way. We need to be, well, we need to have some signage about us. That was another thing concerning the cities of refuge. They were to be well marked. There were to be signs that had the word on it, refuge, pointing in the right direction. And we need to be that kind of signage for the world. We need to be pointing people to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world through not only our words, but our actions. Amen. Through our life, our lives should reflect signage. We should be signage. We should be pointing people in the right direction. Now, I don't know about you. Most people have GPSs and things of that nature, but even if you have GPS or things of that nature, there are occasions where you want to look at a street sign. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is well illuminated. His way is illuminated. That's why the church is in the world. Amen? Aren't we here to point people to Jesus? The gates of that city, they were always open. Day and night, you could go to the city of refuge, morning or evening. There wasn't a one single moment that the gate was closed. Aren't you glad it's that way in getting saved or needing help? I've heard many of your testimonies. People here saved on their bed, some saved in their shower, some saved driving down the road, some people saved on the porch, some saved behind the barn, in front of the barn, in a field. I'm glad you can go to Jesus anytime. Amen? Anytime! You can call upon Jesus, that old, old song. You can call upon Jesus anytime, anytime. He's always there, always there, always on the line. Jesus is accessible all the time. Children, listen to me. You might not just be dealt with at church. You may be dealt with at home to seek the Lord. You could be dealt with at school. Isn't that right, Katie? I love her testimony of getting saved at school. Don't tell me God's not in the public school system. God is everywhere. You can't shut Him out. Can I get an amen? You can't shut God out. He'll go everywhere in this world. Communists have tried too. They've failed. Another thing I want us to notice, the proximity of this city, these cities. They're in every part of the land. Anybody could reach one of these cities in just a short time. Jesus isn't far from us. He's very close. Paul was preaching at Athens. He said this. He said that he told him, he instructed him, he said, seek the Lord that happily you may feel after him and find him, because he's not very far from every one of us. Jesus is near today. Is he close? Is he accessible for you right now? Right now you can get saved. Right now you can find refuge. If you'll run to him, flee to him, and call upon him, he can provide you comfort and consolation and healing and forgiveness of sin right now. You believe that? Amen. Right now. I'm going to close with one final thing here with respect to these cities. Once you got in, you were safe. I mean, you were safe. Jesus said, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Paul put it this way in Romans 8 and 1. Now there's no condemnation. See, before we sensed the condemnation, we sensed the guilt, we sensed the despair, we sensed the reality of being outside of Jesus, outside of safety. Listen, if you're not saved, you're in great peril. You're in danger. If you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, if you've never repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and had an experience with God, you're in great, great peril. Danger. There's dangers of the brevity of life. You could be outside the ark of safety and die. Everyone outside the ark perished. Everyone outside of Jesus will perish. There's condemnation. There's damnation. There's hell reserved for those that are not found in Jesus. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to flee to him for refuge. You need to lay hold of Jesus. Lay hold of him. Experience eternal life. Not just halfway get there. Did you realize that if you headed toward the city of refuge and you got halfway there, that wasn't good enough? If you were on the outside of the walls of that city, the avenger of blood could still destroy you. The only way to be safe was to get in the city. And if you're here this morning, you're outside of that safety that's in Jesus, you need to get in Jesus. Amen? Trust in him. Experience a believing application of his blood. Leave here knowing that you're saved. Is that possible? You could have come here this morning lost, under condemnation, on your way to hell. And believe in Jesus with all of your heart and leave here saved. Born again of the Spirit of God, knowing that you're a child of God. Can a person know that they're a child of God on their way to heaven? You know, once you got in the city, you had to stay there until the high priest died. The old Jews long ago, some of them believed that the reason there were only six wasn't a really good famous number with the Jews, is because they believed when the Messiah came, he was going to set up the seventh. John saw a holy city coming down out of heaven. I'm going to that city. And we'll stay there till the high priest dies. The thing of it is, the high priest will never die. Are you going to heaven? Do you know that you're going to heaven? One of these days, these bodies, my soul has already taken refuge in Jesus, and I'm safe. But one of these days, this body is going to take refuge in Jesus. And we're going to run for that city. And I'll tell you, once we get inside, we will forever be safe. Let's stand. If you're here today and you've not been saved, and you're not secure, and you're not safe, come to Jesus. Flee to him for refuge. Lay hold of eternal life in Jesus Christ as we sing. Is there someone?